And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we go to the gospel reading this morning, and boy, we've heard a lot of things that Jesus shares with us, things that have already happened, things that are currently going on, and things that are still to come to pass, even in our future. But right in the heart of this, Jesus speaks these words, and it's verses 12 through 15 in the gospel reading this morning. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. Look at those words. What an incredible promise that the Lord brings forth to us in the midst of a lot of could be seen as horrifying things that are going to develop even in our future. But in the middle of this, Jesus talks about an opportunity. This will be your opportunity. Now, we hear that a lot today, right? Maybe in the business world, in sales, you know, maybe a sales manager will say to a new salesman on staff, you know, I got this new account. It could be huge. This will be your opportunity. Or maybe it's a football team getting ready to go on the field, and maybe the predictions are they're just going to be crushed by this other team. And yet the coach is there with the kids firing them up and saying, this will be your opportunity. We're used to hearing that in terms of worldly matters, but have you ever thought of hearing that from Jesus? I couldn't recall these words as I read them. But here, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the very Son of God, says to you and me and to the church as a whole, this will be your opportunity. And what is the opportunity but to bear witness? To bear witness of the very one who speaks these words. Now, interesting enough, this is placed by Jesus in this dialogue right in the middle of severe persecution that will come and has come upon the church. And so the Lord revealing to us that in times of persecution, in some of those most harsh, difficult times, the Lord provides for you and me as Christians some of the most wonderful times, some of the greatest opportunities to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we think about that this morning. And yet we see by observation that many people, as the end time discussion comes up, the focus is always, well, when is this going to happen? Or what are the specific signs that are going to be there? And you find people that spend all of their time and energy trying to figure this out like a puzzle. And we've seen many false prophecies over the years, and there will be many more that will be given. And even in the epistle reading this morning, we heard about the Thessalonians. They thought Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. And what did they do? They decided, well, why pursue work anymore? It really doesn't matter now because the Lord's coming back very soon. And they were sitting down. They weren't doing anything. They were missing the opportunities that the Lord provided to them to serve Him. And really, when you think about it, has it changed much in our current times? And so it's really important that we hear these words from Jesus this morning. He draws our attention back to the work that He has entrusted us to do. In fact, when you read Scripture, the only reason the Lord gave us this day is for that purpose. The only reason God allows the world to continue on and Jesus delaying when He returns is for the sake of the lost. That's where God's focus is. And this morning Jesus says, this will be your opportunity. We are greatly honored to be His witnesses. That is why we are here. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, remember those words. You know, we are Christ's ambassadors. What an honor. Could God bestow upon us a greater honor? We are God's mouthpiece on earth. We represent Jesus in everything we do in life on this earth. And that's a great responsibility, and that ought to really get our attention every day and asking ourselves, by my attitude, action, and words, am I giving a clear representation of my Lord Jesus Christ? A huge responsibility, but even a greater honor. But you know, when you and I can be in those shining moments of opportunity, is sometimes what, from a worldly perspective, could be seemingly some of the most difficult times we are going through in life. But the Lord says there will be that opportunity for you to bear witness. And you know, as we follow the history of the church, it's not hard to look throughout Scripture and see how this has played out time and time and time again. Remember Peter and John in Jerusalem, early church, Book of Acts, chapter 4. And they are going out in the streets of Jerusalem and they're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And what happens to them? But the authorities, the priests, the Sadducees, and other leaders in the church, they bring them in. They arrest them. And why do they do that? Because we hear they were teaching people and proclaiming to them that Jesus is the resurrection from the dead. He is the one who truly rose from the dead. And so here they are, they're brought in, and that would look like a horrible thing, but they get a hearing from the top leaders in the church of that day. And they would have never had that kind of a hearing if it wasn't that they were arrested, and if it wasn't for them using the opportunity that God gave them. And so imagine, here's the elite leaders in Jerusalem. And they're standing there before Peter and John, and they're saying, by what power or by what name did you do this? Wow, what an opportunity. Hey, if you guys want to know, we'll tell you. And they did. And God's word does not return void. Or you think of Stephen. Remember when Stephen was called to be one of the disciples? And Stephen goes out, and we hear in Acts chapter 6 that he was out being filled with God's grace, doing signs and wonders that people were seeing. And some of the synagogue leaders, again, what do? They're very upset. They want this whole Jesus movement to die and go away. And so they confront Stephen. And Stephen rose up, or they rose up and disputed with Stephen. But Stephen had a hearing. Again, among some of the elite of the day that would never have given him the time of day otherwise. And he shared with them the incredible Word of God. And of course, then there's Martin Luther. We fast forward several centuries, and as we're approaching the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and by the way, this isn't a new diet plan. But diet was a formal meeting, that's what that term means, and Worms was a city in Germany, and Luther was commanded, because of what he was proclaiming in the land of that day, confronting the church establishment of the day. He was called by the highest authority in the land, Charles V, to come and speak there, and Charles V wanted him to renounce everything that he had been teaching the people. Look at that. Do you think Charles V would call Martin Luther up and say, hey, I just want to sit down and dialogue with you? It's not going to happen. But it happened because they were concerned what Luther was doing. And they wanted to destroy Luther. But it gave Luther the opportunity to bear witness, and he used it, and here we are today, still blessed by the marvelous work God did through this man and many others. And So it's important for us this morning to recognize the opportunities. We recognize it in the business world and in our careers and all of those things. Yeah, I want to seize this opportunity. Well, here is the greatest one. Jesus says, this will be your opportunity. And I want you to think about your life right now and what's going on with you. I want you to think about the most difficult things you're dealing with right now. Maybe it's individually. Maybe it's within your family. Maybe it's at work. Or as we see what's going on in our nation. Do you think this is a very popular banner with a lot of people? No, we couldn't have that in our schools, could we? It's very controversial. That's not all bad, though, because in the midst of that controversy, Jesus is saying, there's your opportunity. Begin to share with people who really is the foundation of the blessings of the nation that we live in. You know, I have a picture of an individual, a pastor. We're going to pray for him in our prayer time, but Pastor Irani, and he is in Iran. And out there proclaiming Christ, he was 5 years ago. The Iranian authorities arrested him. He was put into prison. He's been in prison for 5 years, horribly abused in prison, but he's finally been released. And we're going to pray this morning praising God for his release. Can you imagine being in Iran and openly sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Wow. But he went through great persecution, but he had a hearing by the authorities in Iran. And he's not the only one. There's tons of people in Iran that are in prison as Christians. Why? Because they took the opportunity. And God's word does not turn void. This will be your opportunity, says Jesus. And so we can have our shining moments by the blessings of God in what the world would look upon as being the absolute worst moments in our lives. Isn't that cool that God really gives us a whole new view of how we see things that we go through? And the other awesome thing this morning is that the Lord promises us that He's going to provide us the words to speak. So we don't have to sit down and prepare and make notes and imagine what possible questions could I be asked. Kind of like the presidential debates, right? The candidates, man, they would be, you know, just drilled on all the questions that could possibly be asked. And so that they were mentally prepared for it when it came. But in God's Word, we hear the Lord affirm to us, as we hear it in the gospel this morning, settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand what to answer. God doesn't want us to beat our brains trying to figure this out. We don't have to. But when the times come, here's His promise. I will give you a mouth and wisdom, and this is really cool, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. Do you believe that? That's God's promise. I don't know about you, but that's pretty awesome, isn't it? That is powerful. We are prepared through the faith that we have, knowing God's Word, but God's going to give us the specific things to say in our opportunity. And not only that, but it's going to have a great impact on those who hear it by Jesus' promise. They're not going to be able to withstand it or contradict it. The truth cannot be withstood or contradicted. It is truth, and it's never going to change. And so it's amazing what Jesus says. In Matthew's account, we hear that for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. What you are to say will be given to you. Not might, possibly. God says it will be given to you. And so the point is that that really frees us up. We don't have to have a canned speech. Everybody knows a canned speech when they hear it. But this is a genuine, from the heart testimony. And that is what God is equipping us to do and is calling us to do, and trusting in the power of God's Word. And that goes back to Peter and John. You know, we hear in Scripture in Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 4, later in that chapter, verse 13, these words. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. Wow. You know, you got to do something that's pretty incredible if you're going to astonish those guys. And these are just fishermen. But not just fishermen. They're ambassadors for Christ. And they seized the opportunity. And notice the last of that passage. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. Peter and John took the opportunity, even if it meant their lives being lost. And the word was shared. Same way with Stephen in Acts chapter 6. We hear they could not withstand the wisdom. Isn't that awesome? They could not withstand the wisdom and the Spirit with which he was speaking. Why? Because the Lord was providing the words. The Lord was intervening. The Spirit was there working through those words and changing hearts and minds. And of course, with Martin Luther, I mean, here he is standing before Charles V, knowing this is his death sentence, which it was. They put a target on Luther's back. God spared his life. But Luther says, you know, I'm not renouncing anything that I said. I must remain faithful to the Word of God. And what a witness Luther bore in times of great distress. Why? Because God blessed him. And he seized the opportunity. And still today, the results of that are being realized. Even as we gather as Lutherans here this morning. But you know, our future is awesome. And so in the present, we are honored. We are honored to represent the Lord. Could you have a higher calling than that? If you're having a downer day today or tomorrow or whatever, just think of that. You are honored by the Almighty God to be His mouthpiece, to be His spokesperson. And in that then, to know that God's Word doesn't return void. To know without doubt the heart and core of the message, that Jesus, who died on that cross for the sins of the world, death could not hold him. But he, yes, indeed, rose victoriously. The victory is won. We live in that victory, and nobody can change it. Nobody can take it away from us. And we know where this all ends, and it's in glory. And that is our goal. That is our future. And we heard it in the gospel reading this morning at the end in Luke chapter 21, verse 28. Raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. The rest of the world's hiding under the rocks. They're trying to hide from God. They're terrified when the Lord returns. But Jesus says, when I come back, you don't have to hide under the rocks. You don't even have to bow down. I want you to raise your heads and rejoice that I have returned. And that is our future. This will be your opportunity. Today, this week, this year, in the time that God provides for us, and the encouragement the Lord brings to you and me is to seize the opportunities when they arise. Confident that the Lord is with you, confident that He will give you the words to speak, and confident that that word will change hearts and minds. And just maybe, somebody that you seize the opportunity with, you're going to be standing together with your heads up when the Lord returns. Because through you, God called someone else to faith. Seizing the opportunity. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord and the mission that he entrusts to us.